Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
I thought I was doing the right thing by getting up at 3 in the morning and voting early, and I waited and waited and waited, and nobody was there. Dr. Joseph Hahn is here. He is a technical services veterinarian with Merck Animal Health. Good morning, Dr. Hahn.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, before we talk about, and we will, leptospirosis. That sounds horrible. We'll explain what that is and what you can do to prevent your dog from getting this, and we'll talk about whether it really is horrible or not. I want to also talk about dog flu. This is the very radio show that kind of broke the news about it nationally, the new, at that time, strain of dog flu. Is it still out there, and do we need to be concerned about it? Our phone number is 312-981-7200 if you have any questions for us. But most importantly, I know you are a Chicago Cubs fan and a huge Blackhawk fan, actually. In fact, you may never see me again, Dr. Hahn. Let me explain. I am going Wednesday on a business trip to St. Louis. And the kind people said, all right, we'll do our business during the day. And then at night, why don't we get some tickets? We'll take you to the St. Louis Blues Chicago Blackhawks game. And I said, wow, I have never been in St. Louis for a hockey game. But I am going to wear my Blackhawk jersey, which explains why you may never see me again.
I had the opportunity to do that, wear my Blackhawks jersey at the Scott Trade Center a couple of years ago.
Really?
I survived. So
and you're
I do.
Here.
I am here. So I expect to see you again at some point.
But maybe you're more heavily insured than I am. I'm not sure. So last night we were talking before we went on the air about the Cubs. I think everyone in Chicago has been talking about the Cubs. So I have two points I want to make about it. First of all, I don't know if you've been by Wrigley Field in the past 4 or 5 days, and I've been in and out of town, so I did not get the opportunity to do this. We live fairly close to the ballpark, quite close, and we went to a restaurant. So we live east of the ballpark, the restaurant we went to, which was very good, west of Wrigley Field. So we, you know, no way to go except to walk by the ballpark. And we did. There's still people. This was 7 o'clock last night. There must have been 200 people around the ballpark, some of them just cheering, some of them doing something that I'll talk about in a second, and then some of the folks trying to sell you stuff. You know, this is the official T-shirt, when I knew that doesn't look so official to me.
Right.
And the big one is Cubs. What is it? Cubs don't suck.
Right.
That's the big new one.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not find a spot on the wall, even on the pavement, because I wanted to write, because people had been doing this in chalk, names of folks that are deceased who were huge Cub fans, and honor them by putting their names on the wall. And I didn't bring chalk with me, but there was chalk there. People left chalk behind. We found a corner, and I was able to do it. So I wrote to remember my father, Bob, my father-in-law, Sal, my grandma, Sarah, who was a huge Cubs fan, as was her husband, Grandpa Maurice, to me, and Grandpa Ben. Grandma Ann never particularly cared about sports, but she was an amazing baker. But it was great to see all of those. And some people put pictures up, and it was really touching to read. Now, some of them just said, go Cubs, or we love Chris Bryant with a heart, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But most of what people wrote had to do with family members that would have loved to have seen what happened.
Well, we were discussing this last night, actually, and this victory that from the Cubs was generational, because most of the Chicagoans who are Cubs fans because their father or their grandfather took them to games when they were young. My dad took me when I was young. And it really brings back all those memories that, you know, those people weren't lucky enough to, some of them weren't lucky enough to survive long enough to see a Cubs World Series. So it was really just an amazing, amazing event.
It truly, truly was. The other thing is that I wasn't here for the celebration. I was speaking at Purdue. I know you've been in and out of town as well. But nothing bad happened. And even with, how many million did they say? What was the final total?
More than 5 million people between the parade route and the Grant Park celebration.
Which was more than anything, right? Yep. Ever. So City X, it doesn't matter what city. A big city wins, it doesn't matter, the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, the World Series, NBA championship, whatever it is. And there's something that happens, right, that isn't very good, whether it be store windows broken or police cars turned over. Never understood why that's a part of a celebration. Here, nothing happened. And it makes me hashtag Chicago proud. And it's something I've been talking about for a long time, that Chicago's been getting a bum rap. And I was also so proud to see people using that hashtag. I went on Instagram, and you could see it even on Facebook, after the game, people I don't know, who either listen to WGN Radio, where we've talked about it, it's been in the media elsewhere a bit, this idea of saying, I am proud of Chicago, and I'm going to say that when something happens either in my household or something happens in the city that makes me proud. And I saw hashtag Chicago Proud all over the place. Maybe it was coincidence. Maybe people were thinking the same thing. I'm just proud of Chicago. But it was great to see that everywhere. And in fact, I think it's brought the city together.
Yeah, and we live in the greatest city in the world. So not a surprise.
Not a surprise at all. So it's 18 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is Steve Dale's Pet World. So we should really be talking about pets. So the dog flu, it was what? Help me with my time frame here. It was about a year ago?
Well, initially it broke in March of 2015.
Okay, thank you. So at that time, in fact, our county veterinarian was sitting right where you were sitting. And at a commercial break, I said to her, I've been hearing from a lot of people who have been telling me there's something going on out there. I don't know. It's an upper respiratory thing. I said, it sounds like the dog flu to me. No one even could have conceived at that point it would be a different strain of dog flu, let alone one from Asia, who would have thought.
Right.
But we, and then we talked about it on the air, that if your dog has symptoms, and then, wow, a week later, people were in line waiting to get in, quite literally, some clinics in town, because there were so many very sick dogs around Chicago. Well, that was back then, so today, is that strain of dog flu, H3N2, still here? And if so, how bad is it? And should we do something to prevent it?
We still find cases in the Chicago area on a monthly basis of H3N2. And interestingly, we still find some H3N8 cases that show up in the Chicago area every year. Not as many.
Which is the initial strain of dog flu. So just like with human flu, there's different strains.
There are different strains. Luckily, canine influenza virus tends to be very, very stable. So we don't see it mutate the way we see human flu mutate. Now we have a vaccine available that has both strains in it. And in the Chicago area, since we've had both strains show up in dogs, the recommendation, it's a lifestyle vaccine. But for those dogs that are very social, they fit into that lifestyle.
Well, I would suggest that's maybe most dogs.
I would agree.
Chicago area.
I would agree.
Yeah. All right. So I want to back up just a little bit. So for the human flu, there's all these different strains. And every year, the experts, when they come up with the human flu vaccine, try to predict which strains are going to be out there. And some years they do really well at it, and some years apparently not so well. With the dog world, it's a bit different. We know there are only two strains. And this is, I don't want to bury the lead. This is exciting news, that there is a vaccine that covers both strains, because this is a pretty new vaccine.
Yes. The bivalent vaccine, which has both strains in it, is just coming to market in the last few weeks and is now available to veterinarians. So my advice is to contact your veterinarian and ask them about vaccinating if your dog is one that would be able to benefit from it.
All right. So let's say your dog is out there just walking around the neighborhood, meeting other dogs all the time. Let's say that your dog is in doggy daycare, even just once a week. Let's say that your dog may be boarded in the future because you're going away, and I want to talk about more about going away for Thanksgiving or for Christmas and taking your dogs with you or boarding your dog. Let's say your dog's in a dog training class of some kind or participating in a dog sport where there's other dogs around your dog all the time, or just goes to the dog park, again, even on a weekly or once every couple of weeks basis. For all of those dogs, which, as I said, I think are most dogs in the Chicago area, would the dog flu vaccine seem to at least be something you should really think hard about? Because why?
Well, because it does a very good job of protecting. So influenza in dogs likes to attack lung tissue and causes pneumonia. The vaccines do a great job against preventing against that. And you talked about social dogs, and one area you didn't mention is the dog that lives in the high-rise that has other dogs in the same building. This virus can live for 24 to 48 hours on some hard or soft surfaces, and the dogs that may have it can spread it to other dogs without even being in direct contact.
And why should you get – I mean, there are a lot of people, some years I'm one of them, who don't get the human flu vaccine. So why should these dogs be vaccinated?
One of the big reasons is to protect the community. We've had outbreaks in the past, and especially the first one, we didn't know what we were dealing with. Now we know that it's out there, and getting what we call herd immunity, getting enough dogs vaccinated, we can really help limit the spread of this virus.
And more importantly, for most dog owners, for your own dog?
Correct. Again, the vaccine is one that it does take about 4 weeks before you get full immunity, and you need a booster for it. But it really can help prevent disease in your own personal dog, as well as help prevent the community.
And while most dogs with the dog flu, well, first of all, the lucky ones, what, about 20%, 25%, we don't know, but somewhere in there, don't even get sick. So, yeah, I guess you could toss a coin and say, I hope that's my dog. And that's where the community part gets in, because the dogs that don't get sick and still get the virus spread it to other dogs. But for that other 80% that gets sick, that's no fun.
It is no fun, absolutely. And there are a small percentage of dogs that have died from influenza. We saw that in the initial outbreak. There were, you know, maybe 10 to 12 that didn't survive it. So this is something that we take very, very seriously.
Yeah. So for further information, simply ask your veterinarian. I do have some text. I want to get to those. I want to talk about. In fact, one of those texts is asking about leptospirosis. So we will answer that question. It's really a concern, and it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit in Chicago, but we're going to talk about that next on WGN. Oh, no, and there's no time for me to set it up. I wanted to do a Facebook Live, Jazzy. Oh, boy. What do we do? We're stuck. This is 9 minutes or 8 minutes now before 7 o'clock on WGN. Dr. Joseph Hahn is with us, and you're with us. And I have text questions to answer here. The first one is, it's from 630. Do cats get the dog flu? You know, Dr. Hahn, it just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. The new strain, the H3N2, there have been very rare reported cases of cats that can get the dog flu, but we don't find it very often. If you're in a house that has dogs and cats and the dogs all of a sudden are sick or get diagnosed with dog flu, if the cat starts coughing a week later, something to think about. But it's a very rare occurrence.
All right. Now, leptospirosis, have a text about it. I said I'd talk about it. It's been in the media just a little bit here, but it's really bad now, and people should know about it. And maybe it's just the name of this thing that is the reason. Maybe some people just can't pronounce it and therefore aren't talking about it. But it should be spoken about, because it really is occurring a heck of a lot in Chicago now.
Yeah. I reached out to some of my contacts at MedVet, which is the emergency clinic and referral center. They say over the last few months they've seen about 20 cases of leptospirosis, which is a lot, and about half of the dogs that got it didn't survive. Some of them, they were so sick they were euthanized. So this can be a very, very serious problem.
What is it?
Leptospirosis is a bacteria, and while there's over 200 different what we call cerevars, different types of leptospirosis, there's about 8 that we get concerned about that can cause serious disease. The big problem with leptospirosis is that some of these cerevars or types are adapted to some of the wildlife. For example, you mentioned in your commercial a rat. There's a type of leptospirosis that can live fine in a rat, doesn't cause the rat any problems, but they can excrete it in their urine. And if it gets into a dog, can make the dog very, very sick.
So if you live out in the sticks, it can be raccoons.
Raccoons, skunks, absolutely.
Yep. I mean, whatever it might be, and they're around, possum. And I don't know if possum do this or not. I honestly don't know. I suppose they probably
They can,
do.
Yes.
Yeah. So pretty much anything
yep.
that moves, that's wildlife. And if your dog licks from a puddle or a pond or even a stream that or the condo project, what are they called? The developments that have mm-hmm. these ponds
yeah.
that they're very pretty.
They're retention ponds.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. And if a dog licks from there, potentially the same thing. And in the city, it's all those same things. And add to that city rats. And rats are big spreaders of this.
They're big spreaders. They can be a big problem. Imagine people take their dogs to the dog park and they go home at night. Who comes out at night when the dogs are all gone? So we see rats that do that as well, and they'll urinate in places, and that can be a big problem. And potentially that's why we're seeing an increase in the reported cases of leptospirosis. And some of the types are more serious than others, can cause more disease. And this may be one type that currently is out that is causing significantly more disease.
And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter to me as a dog owner where it comes from. It's what I can do to prevent it, because this can, and I want to stress this can make a dog very, very ill and potentially kill a dog.
Absolutely. And what we found in the last few years is the most common weight range of a dog that's been getting leptospirosis is less than 15 pounds. So we're seeing it in the very small dogs as well. Part of that may be people aren't vaccinating the smaller dogs, but they're still getting out there and getting into contact with leptospirosis.
And I think you mentioned the secret word, vaccination.
Yep.
So vaccines for leptospirosis have been around a while, but people don't talk about it enough, and I don't quite know why, but now we need to think about it.
We do, and in Chicago, we in the Chicago area, we have a lot of leptospirosis, and we have for a long time. And every now and then we'll get a surge of cases, and we'll see these cases get very, very sick. And when that happens, we start thinking about vaccinating again. A number of different companies make vaccines. There are vaccines that have four different types of leptospirosis. They all have the same four different types in the vaccine, and it's something you definitely want to discuss with your veterinarian.
Okay, lots and lots of text coming in. I don't have time to answer all of them. My dog's eye is constantly cheering. What do I do?
Contact your veterinarian. That's the first thing I would tell you to do.
It's not because your dog is watching soap operas during the day.
Or crying because the Cubs just won the World Series.
Well, that might be the reason. So, Dr. Hahn, to learn more about the dog flu, where can people go?
Doginfluenza.com. It has a lot of great information on it.
And, of course, you can simply ask your veterinarian. And the same goes for what we spoke about with leptospirosis. Dr. Hahn, I have two words to say to you. Go Cubs!
Go Cubs, go.
Yeah, that's three words.
And let's go Hawks.
You bet.